Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a pseudo game show podcast hosted by me, Nate Bergoglia, with John Peros and Shannon Page. Each week our guests are subjected to a list of 10 topics that I've chosen, and we find out what each person knows, kinda gets, and only has a vague idea about, and I award points that may or may not matter. We're coming to you live today from Tim Burton Presents, Alan Quartermain's Den of Extraordinary Gentleness, that's also known as Shannon's house. We can't tell you what the address is because, you know, there are a lot of fans and they get a little crazy. This week we have four special guests. This is a crazy, overloaded guest podcast, and it's like all Denver greats, guys. Okay, so this is exciting. First, we have Josh Madison. He's producer and host of Denver Orbit, which is a storytelling podcast that everyone should be listening to. You can find it on the internet. You know how to Google. Also with us, Rachel Trignano. She is the writer-wrangler at Write Club. Among other things, she's incredibly talented, and she's going to leave in January, so, you know, you guys should, like, tweet at her, email her, tell her to stay, so at least she can be on another show. We also have Bryce Mayoro, who you might all remember as the original Fibber from three shows ago.
That's not true.
That's what a liar would say, Bryce. Joining us late, hopefully, is Corey Byram, also of Write Club, but he's not here yet. So, who knows what's going to happen? Is he going to walk into an incredible deficit, or is he going to get some sort of zany points bump because I'm crazy? I don't know. We'll find out. Don't
do that. This is a travesty.
Thank you, John. if you guys all we talked about how the show works. This week, you're going to be playing for the floppy disk from 1995's The Net, starring Sandra Bullock, Technological Foresight Award. That is the amazing trophy that we're coming up with. If you have a better idea for a trophy than crap like that that I come up with, tweet at me. Okay, so we're going to Rochambeau to find out who goes first. So it's going to be 1, 2, 3, shoot in unison. Everybody prepare your hands and palms. It's always worked before, Shannon. Come on.
It never.
All right.
This is not going to work.
You are a gremlin, Rachel Trignano. 1, 2, 3, shoot.
Oh, no, wait,
terrible.
What?
All right, well, look, Bryce is out.
I got killed five times.
Yeah. So we got four times. Bryce is out with paper and four scissors. Okay, remaining contestants, go. 1, 2, 3, shoot. Okay.
Oh, shit.
All right. The ladies are out. John versus Josh. Who will be the J of the day?
Rocks!
That was a tie.
Scissors! Scissors!
Okay, Josh Madison is the winner. Woo! Josh, you get to pick the first topic.
Oh, okay.
Pick 1 through 10.
Yes. Just a random number?
Pick yeah. 7.
Yeah, I like 7.
Yes.
7. All right. That sounds like Rachel picked it, though.
Alright, 3.
Okay, we'll see. Look.
Alright. I see how things work here.
Topic number 3.
I guess we can't be friends on this show.
Not anymore.
Josh, do you know, do you kind of get, or do you only have a vague idea about the Frankenstrat?
I don't know.
Okay, you can pass. You can say you have a vague idea if you think you could kind of make your way towards something.
All right, I'm going to say I have a vague idea.
Go with vague idea. Okay, right. We're going to go...
So I know what those two things are.
Great.
I can put them together.
Yeah, you might repeat. Okay, great.
Yeah.
We're going to go around John.
Well, I can do at least that, but I don't know if I can do any more than that. I'm going to say I pass.
You're going to pass? John's passing. Shannon?
Pass.
Shannon's going to pass. Rachel?
Say the word again and give me my three options.
Okay.
I have no idea what's going on.
Rachel Trignano,
yeah.
Do you know about, do you kind of get,
or
do you only have a vague idea
about
the Frankenstrat?
Oh, I think it's the first one.
You know?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
We'll find out.
We think we have a no. Bryce?
Hard pass.
Okay. So it's really just between you two. You bid low, Josh. Yeah. So you talk about what you think the Frankenstrat is first. Rachel will have to add something to your content. So if you say something of value, you might get a point.
Yeah.
If Rachel adds or is more specific, she will get a point.
Okay, the Frankenstrat is absolutely 100%. It is a Stratocaster made out of the bones of old Stratocasters that are dead.
You're not completely wrong. That's great. You might get half a point at least.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel,
well,
what do you got?
I am requesting more points, and B, I am pretty sure that it is the guitar that Eddie Van Halen assembled.
That is correct.
Oh!
Van Halen rules!
Can you tell me what it's made of?
Yes.
Without bullshitting, because you don't want
A, guitars.
Want to get a sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And B, tape, electrical tape. That is true.
Yes, there is electrical
red
tape involved.
And white and black. And I am leaving it at that. But those are correct.
Great. Well, Rachel, I'm going to give you a point.
How many?
1 point.
More?
That's how it's going to go.
Okay.
Rachel's going to get a point, and Josh is going to get half a point.
All right, I'll take a half a point. I mean...
Oh, you're useless, whatever.
Some of us have no points, so...
Yeah, see? Yeah. I'm already ahead.
The people who have passed have no points.
Mm-hmm.
So the Frankenstrat is Eddie Van Halen's guitar that he put together, combining Gibson Les Paul pickups and equipment with the Stratocaster, Fender Stratocaster body. And it's just like 80s rock and roll legacy guitar.
Yeah.
So well done. Well done, everyone. All right.
Well, not everyone.
Yeah.
Well so done, everyone who chose to participate this time.
I didn't lose. I didn't lose points.
I thought it was about a street. Frankenstrat.
Like,
Yeah.
You take to Frankenstrat.
Yeah, that's all about Frankenstrat. That's where the dance club is. We're going to.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And today we learned that Josh is into awful quasi-German accents.
Yeah. We've been listening to Kraftwerk.
Yeah.
So, Rachel, since you did the best on that round, you get to pick the next topic number. 1 through 9.
I'll take 7.
That's your jam.
It's my birthday. I like earrings. 7/7.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday.
Not yet.
Oh, it's not your birthday? Oh, your birthday is a 7?
7/7.
Oh, see, this is confusing.
Never mind.
I'm not going to cut this out either because this is what people tune in for.
This is the great.
Rachel Trignano, do you know about? Do you kind of get, or do you only have a vague idea when it comes to the moth lamp meme?
The moth lamp meme.
Correct.
I pass.
You're gonna pass?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Bryce, moth lamp meme.
Well, I, made a request for moth lamp memes around their heyday, so I've seen a solid 250 moth lamp memes.
Okay, great.
So I'm gonna say I have, what's my second option?
You kinda get it?
I kinda get the moth lamp
kinda
meme.
Kinda gets it. Josh.
No, hard pass.
Hard pass.
Yeah.
John.
I don't think I even have a vague idea about that.
All right, all right.
John has dial-up
again. You have high-speed internet, but you don't watch. I mean, I don't know. This is kind of
Facebook,
weird.
But you know that.
Yeah, it's true. You're not connected to the pulse of the weirdness.
Okay.
Shannon, the moth lamp meme.
Nope. I want to hear what Bryce has to say.
All right, Bryce. It's really
gonna have
all
to tell
on
us.
You now.
You're gonna have to tell us all.
Well, it seems that someone found a haunting picture of a moth staring outward and decided to turn it into meme form, and thus created an entire universe of memes where a moth is lovingly trying to get lamps into its life.
Yeah, that's correct.
I think maybe my favorite is the moth at the McDonald's drive-thru saying, "Can I get a lamp?" But... it's just a series of this moth's adventures to find a lamp. I don't know what else really needs to be said about it. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a classic love story.
Yeah. Moth.
Moth and lamp.
Bryce, you get a point. So yeah, it's a meme that's been popular, especially this year, I think.
Yes.
That just is, people especially take, so it's a close-up of a moth with very glowing bright eyes gazing toward a lamp. And then these people, like, photoshopping the moth's head onto, like, Simpsons stuff or whatever else. It's like any time that there is a marked note of desire that we're trying to convey through internet mimetic means, put a moth on it. So there you go. Great job, everybody. That was good. I'm glad that it was such a great topic.
You found my expertise.
Right?
You're not an expert, yeah.
We're slowly dishing out a point at a time.
Do I get half a point for sitting next to Bryce while he got one right?
I think I should get a half a point for having to sit next to Rachel.
No!
You guys are kind of on thin ice because I might subtract half a point from both of you for
you
this
do?
Infighting. This is not
is
necessary.
Mom, yeah. Which one is the flame here?
Yeah. So ugly.
I'm the flame.
Right away.
Good choice. Good choice.
Right. Bryce, since you got that one, you can pick 1 through 8.
7.
Okay.
Wait, right. didn't we just do 7?
They change.
Oh. Yeah, I'm always taking away, yeah.
Why, so, yes, I do have a college degree.
And knowledge of moth names.
So, Bryce, do you kind of get, or do you only have a vague idea about the Magna Carta?
Oh, barely a vague idea.
Barely a vague idea. Okay, Josh?
Vague idea.
Vague idea about the Magna Carta.
I guess I'll say I know a little bit about it.
You kind of get it?
Yeah.
All right. Shannon?
I'm going to pass.
You're going to pass again?
Yeah.
Wow. Rachel?
Vague idea, but more importantly, I don't care because I'm a nihilist.
No. Oh,
wow.
Mm. Wow.
Take that.
Hey,
also
Lebowski.
A history major. Figure that out.
A nihilist, Lebowski. She believes in nothing.
You're out of your element, Madison.
All right. That would be the first time.
Well, so who was low bid? You.
They're all low bid.
Yeah, okay. We'll start with you, Bryce.
Talk about
the Magna Carta.
It's an important document.
Great. Yep.
From Europe.
Yep, sure is.
Jay-Z has an album called Magna Carta Holy Grail.
He's so learned.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pass.
Those are three things.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Josh.
I can't really add on that much. It's from Europe. It is a proto-constitution. A lot of the elements of the Constitution are taken from the Magna Carta,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm out of, and that's it. Great. And I'm out.
That's perfect, John.
No, he was higher.
Yeah, Rachel.
Oh, Rachel, your vague idea next.
Oh,
okay,
it means
go ahead.
Great charter.
Okay. That's good.
In addition to the things the other two said, and it unified portions of Europe.
All right.
I don't need to be a smart American. I just, it's not necessary. It doesn't make me more money. So
there's that nihilism.
No, it's certainly. Yeah. John?
I wanted to say that it was what outlined the foundation for self-governance that the Constitution ended up building on. The date of it is, you know, maybe in the 16th century or something like that.
Earlier.
Even earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it still owned by Ross Perot?
Oh, God, I don't know. I'm going
to... But, like, the original one?
Yeah.
I knew I should have voted
in the
pandemic.
He doesn't come up enough.
Is he dead?
No, he's still around.
Ross Perot, if you were alive, call in.
Yes.
I have many questions for you.
So many questions.
Well, apparently, this is a UK Telegraph article from 2007 says Ross Perot sold the Magna Carta.
He sold it.
Oh, right. Of course, 2007 Magna Carta sell, of course.
Yeah,
you know,
that
big
was all
news.
Over Yahoo.
Yeah.
For $21.3 million.
Yahoo, a great news source.
Wow, $21.3 million. Was he out of money?
I mean, he just didn't have that much to begin
with.
Well,
that's
also real bootstrapped guy.
Only
had a paramilitary to go into
was
Iran.
A savvy businessman.
I think that's how he recouped his elections losses. You know, his presidential.
He sold his
losses.
Magna Carta. Yeah.
And his Taurus.
Yeah. To heal his broken
We've
heart.
We've all been there, bro. We've all been there.
So it was 1215 was the year, and it did. I mean, it established essentially the idea that the feudal system at the time was going to change so that the peon sort of class of people weren't going to be crapped on quite as much.
Ahoy polloi.
Oh. Yeah, it was good times. So everyone who participated, let's see here. John, you're going to get half a point for pointing us in that direction. Shannon, I'm going to give you half a point because you looked up how much Ross Perot sold the document for. And, you know, this is all really about saving me time. Rachel gets half a point. Bryce gets half a point.
Yes.
And Josh gets half a point.
Woo! All right. That's 1 point.
Now you can retire.
1 point.
I think 1.5.
Hey, point.
You never know how this could shake out.
Yeah.
Since that was kind of crazy, I'm going to just pick somebody at random.
All right.
All right, Bryce, you get to pick 1 through 7?
Let's go with 3.
3. Okay.
Are we only allowed to pick 3 and 7?
Yes. That's part of the Magna Carta bylaws.
It's a hard and fast rule of a vague idea.
Yeah.
900 years old.
Do you kind of get, or you only have a vague idea when it comes to Detective Pikachu?
Vague idea.
Vague idea. Okay, Josh.
I know about it.
Someone has kids, so. Yeah. All right, you know.
Well.
John?
mostly.
All right.
I can't do any better than that. I don't know that much about it.
Okay. Shannon? There's Detective Pikachu?
There's nothing I would say that's not going to be said before it gets to me.
The cracks in the large group are starting to show. Rachel.
What's the first one?
Detective Pikachu?
No, the option.
Oh. A vague idea is the least. Then
the
you
most.
Have kind of get it.
The most.
And you know.
Whoa.
You know it?
The most.
You claim to know.
Watch me.
Okay.
I think I know less than she does.
Well, start with him.
Wow.
Okay, so we'll go from Bryce to Josh
okay,
to Rachel.
Okay, I accept.
Bryce, what do you got?
Detective Pikachu is a 2018 motion picture film featuring Detective Pikachu, voiced by Ryan Reynolds,
which is
a weird freaking choice.
Uh-huh. It's very strange.
It's a live-action film, which is also interesting, and there's some other running around Pokemon characters in there.
What?
Perfect. Yep.
I've never heard of this.
Oh, yeah. It's adorable. Okay, Josh, what do you got?
That's pretty much what I got. It's a 2018 movie starring Ryan Reynolds and some kid.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some, like, internet kid, I think. I don't know anything about
it. Oh, my God,
it's
so cute.
The listeners at home, she is looking at pictures of this on her phone.
Probably my favorite thing to come out of Detective Pikachu is that somebody recut the trailer using the voice of Alex Jones in place of Pikachu, and it's phenomenal.
Oh my God.
So now you have to go watch both.
That's wonderful.
That sounds great.
He's the crazy guy that talks about false flag operations.
The drugs in the water are turning the frogs gay.
Yeah,
they're turning the freaking lights off.
He's a heavyset white conspiracy theorist from Austin, Texas.
Aren't
hard
they all?
Right.
Well,
hard
yeah.
right.
Doesn't really narrow it down.
No.
but he's
conspiracy
renowned.
Theorist from Texas. That's
heavyset
crazy.
White man who is into conspiracy theories and
He liked to talk about what was the Operation Jade Helm, which was a thing that during Obama's presidency. He believed was the military was secretly setting up bases within abandoned Walmarts throughout the country to wage a war against, I guess, gun rights or something.
And I'm the original Fibber.
Yeah. He is
the original Fibber.
And the thing that it turns out is that all of those abandoned Walmarts actually got filled with migrant children, is what we've come to discover. Many of those places are detention centers now. Mm. So they were being
God
used for something,
America.
But not what he was thinking. Rachel, can you add anything to Detective Pikachu?
Not at all, because I lied. I just wanted the opportunity to tell you that if you play Super Smash Brothers and you select the other Pokemon character Jigglypuff, the announcer goes, Jigglypuff! And it it's very funny. That's all I wanted to say.
Jigglypuff is in the Detective Pikachu movie.
Yes.
Okay, so it counts.
It is a source of conflict for people because it was too smooth or something. Like the computer animated version doesn't have any hair, so it looks kind of weirdly.
Now, to be fair, my computer.
I thought you were going to say erotic, but you know.
So the kind of strange eroticism that comes from
Jigglypuff.
A
naked Jigglypuff.
That is
a hairless Jigglypuff.
My memoir. So hairless. That works well.
I don't know if did anybody say Pokemon specifically?
Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, great. You know what? Josh, you're gonna get another point. John didn't. John and Shannon didn't participate. Rachel, you're gonna get. What were you at? You were at a point and a half.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna give you another half point. So you're 2. And Bryce, you're gonna get a point as well because you started us out. That gives you 3.
That really worked.
That was a great round, guys. Now, we have figured out that Detective Pikachu doesn't come out until 2019. I'm not going to penalize anybody yet. But we now have our final guest. Corey Byram is here. He's also part of the Right Club team of stupendous human beings. Corey, how do you explain yourself for being so late?
I had other things to do. I don't know what else to say beyond that. I'm a stay-at-home dad. I had to wait for my wife to get home from work so that my kids were not left alone to tear the house down.
See, there you go. Don't let kids run the house.
Those are lies. He was gambling.
Oh, shit. Well, I gotta go then.
Or just don't have kids. That will solve the problem, too.
Too late.
Yeah.
All right, so Corey, to catch you up so far, we've gone through 4 rounds. We've covered the Frankenstrat, Detective Pikachu, the Moth Lamp meme, and the Magna Carta.
Okay.
And currently, our score stands at Josh with 2, John with half a point, Shannon with half a point, Rachel with 2 points, Bryce with 3 points, and Corey, you have no points because you just got here.
Yeah.
But there's still plenty of time with 6 categories
based
left.
Based on those categories you said, I would still have no points. So I'm doing just as well as I would have been doing.
Well, and because you've just arrived, I'm going to let you pick the next category.
Oh,
so you can pick 1 through 6.
I just pick a number.
Yeah.
Let's go with number 3.
Hey, we only picked 3 and 7.
Good choice.
All right. So this is kind of a special one. We did this before with songs by the band Bush. But, Corey Byram.
Yes.
Do you know? So here's your choices. You either know about it, you kind of get it, or you only have a vague idea.
Right.
This particular question requires you to know it, to qualify for knowing it. To name 3 albums by Hootie and the Blowfish. Okay. Now, if you can name 3, phenomenal. Say that you know it. If you can name 2, you might say I kind of get it, and you'll probably qualify and get a point for knowing those 2. Mm-hmm. If you can only name 1, or you're kind of like, man, I just really liked Hold My Hand, and I can't really remember anything else about Hootie. Open the bid with what you think, whether you know, you kind of get, or you only have a vague idea.
Well, I think everyone knows that I'm a huge Hootie and the Blowfish fan. I know Rachel knows this. No, I don't.
I introduced you to them.
I do know they were on an episode. Actually, they
you don't have to tell us what you know yet.
They
just make a bit.
I don't know. This doesn't have to do with the album titles, though. I was just going to say there's a great episode of Friends where they go see Hootie and the Blowfish.
Of course.
It causes a riff.
Nothing is more 90s than
Friends.
That.
Yeah. And there's a special Hootie song on the Friends soundtrack.
There you go.
And a compact disc that I owned that also included
Go home, Regolia. That's enough, Eddie.
So, we were all doing things wrong then.
Oh, my God.
Beyond that, I know nothing about Hootie and the Blowfish, so
you're going to pass.
I'm going to have to pass.
All right, we're going to pass. Bryce, albums by Hootie and the Blowfish.
Pass.
Pass. Josh.
No, I know nothing about them. No, I was trying really hard to be cool in the 90s, so I didn't listen to things like that.
Look what
it didn't take,
you.
But, you know, I tried.
Okay, John?
I'm with Josh. Proudly 0.
Proudly 0. All right, great. Shannon?
Also 0.
Oh, man.
I have a pretty story, though.
Okay, well, let's hear your story.
So, Hootie's name is
Darius Rucker.
Darius Rucker.
Yeah. Oh, you knew it!
Yeah, I know that.
A
likely story.
My dad met him in a bar and was like, oh, hey, you're Hootie. And he was like, actually, my name is Darius. And they got to talking and he was like, I'm playing Red Rocks tomorrow. Would you like to come? And got him like backstage at Darius's like solo show.
Oh, yeah. Because he does like solo country.
Yeah, so he's like a country artist, right?
Yeah.
But apparently everyone kept yelling Hootie songs at him. And he was sad.
That sounds painful.
Yeah, that would be pretty miserable.
Also, that sounds hilarious. But painful for him. But funny for me.
Wait, I don't want to go. I want Josh to keep unpacking that. I feel like there are more options.
Let's spend conservatively the next 45 minutes figuring out where this goes. Rachel?
I think like I kind of know something.
You okay,
all
great.
You
well, you're the only person who's been, so if you can name 1 album,
like
you'll get a
quarter
point.
Okay. Okay, so first of all, my grandpa used to call them Hootie and the Gang, which was very funny. When he referred to young people, quote, smoking dope. That was fun. I think one album was called just Hootie and the Blowfish. I think another one was called Hold My Hand.
I'm looking at this because it don't ring a bell for me. Now, like, Hold My Hand was a song that they did.
It's because I made them up.
But the thing is that there is
don't
actually
lie.
A Hootie and the Blowfish album, so you get a point.
Yes! I knew it!
They waited.
They have
waited,
to have a self-titled album.
Oh, boy, you guys.
What was the name of the big album?
So the debut big album was called Cracked Rear View.
That
rings a bell. God damn it.
I wanted it to be Here Comes the Hootie. That would
be awesome. Here Comes the Hootie.
The sophomore slump record was called Fairweather Johnson.
Oh, I knew that too. I knew all these. I worked at Blockbuster Music when all this was happening, so I should have remembered these.
Oh, man, yeah.
This is all the stuff that was like on the shelf.
Yeah. You would have had to restock that probably 100 times.
Just selling bootlegs.
I did, indeed. They were flying off the shelves.
Smoking menthols.
Other albums include 1998.
Wait, there are more?
Musical Chairs.
Okay.
And then Hootie and the Blowfish was the record they put out in 2003, ooh, right. Which exactly. I don't know that anyone
exactly.
listened to.
Yes. No.
And then in 2005, the last record that the band has put out was called Looking for Lucky.
2005. It's been far too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
13 years.
And surprising that there's a 2005 Hootie and the Blowfish record, right. though. Rachel,
far too
you
long and also not long enough.
That's right.
So you're up to three.
Okay.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
And you get to pick the next topic. So you have choices one through five. So you're not going to be able to pick seven this time.
Four.
Sorry.
Four.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Rachel Fagnano.
Yeah.
Do you know? Mm. You kind of get.
Okay.
Or do you only have a vague idea about the Nuremberg trials?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God. I mean, I kind of get. I'm going to say kind of get.
Kind of get? Mm. Great. Corey?
Nuremberg was found guilty, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Bryce?
Pass.
You're passing. Josh?
Kind of get.
Kind of get. Okay. Yeah. John?
I don't know. I guess I kind of get it.
Kind of get it?
Yeah.
Okay. Shannon?
Pass.
You're passing. All right.
And it'll start us off. Obviously, it was for Nazi war crimes, and it took place in Nuremberg, Germany, which is what they're named after. Also called Nuremberg with an umlaut. And the tricky, I mean, it's just, I think it's pretty straightforward. They were just trying people who were former Nazis for, you know, the Holocaust and their participation in it. But what's especially challenging is that so many, with like this great Nazi diaspora that happened in the 40s and afterwards, like there were so many people... And oh, I don't know, Argentina, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In South America, that they are still finding them and routing them out and trying them. There was actually, wasn't there recently, like a 90-something-year-old Nazi
yeah.
who was convicted?
Yeah. I think extradited, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
That's correct.
My family thanks
yeah,
you.
when I visited Chile in 2007, we went to a town called Valdivia, which yeah has all... Alpine architecture
mm-hmm.
and a German Kunstmann brewery.
Really?
Because there was a huge German presence in that town. It was pretty wild.
Mysteriously, right after World War II.
Yeah, like, yeah. Just, I don't know.
Where did these Germans come from?
They just washed up.
Huh. They don't have any extremist beliefs, do they?
Thanks. Thank you.
Corey, you passed?
I did.
Okay. Bryce?
I knew all the stuff.
Josh, can you add to what Rachel said?
I don't know
said?
That I can add much to that. Yeah, it was people are on...
When did they start?
Mostly for the Holocaust.
1947? I could be making that up.
Part of the reason I picked it
yeah.
Is because of the start date. But we'll see if anybody knows.
Oh,
before
no.
we I'll answer
okay,
you
all
in
right,
a second.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah?
Nah.
John, can you add?
Not really. Ask me about the Nuremberg Ring. And
oh, yeah.
The
well,
trials.
For sure. Yeah, time trials. Nuremberg time trials. See how fast that Volkswagen can go. Yeah, they started between November 20th of 1945 and October 1st of 46. The tribunal tried 24 of the most important political and military leaders of the Third Reich.
Who were still alive, anyway.
And though the proceeding against Martin Bormann was tried in absentia, while another defendant, Robert Ley, committed suicide within a week of the trial's commencement.
I'm fine with that.
And Hitler, Himmler... Bergdorf, Krebs, and Goebbels had all committed suicide to avoid capture. Though Himmler committed suicide after his capture. So, that's some uplifting stuff.
Yeah, way to bring down the room.
Hey, you know, sometimes a vague idea isn't all about fun and games, guys.
Games.
It's about learning.
It isn't any
more importantly, how many points do I get?
Rachel, you're gonna get a point.
I'm requesting more because my Jewish grandfather fought in World War II. So I would like 2 points.
I'm still going to just give you 1 point, because you're building a sizable lead at this point already. Josh, you're going to get half a point.
Woo!
And,
you're grade grubbing.
Always. Before after college.
And Rachel, since you lead again, pick one through four.
I will pick four.
Four.
Yeah.
All right, this is a fun one.
Okay.
Okay. Rachel Fugnano, do you know, do you kind of get, or do you only have a vague idea about John and Lorena Bobbitt?
Oh, I am well aware, my friend. Yes.
You know?
Oh, yes.
You know. Okay,
I am
great.
Well aware.
Corey Byron.
I would say kind of get.
You kind of get?
I know,
okay.
I know the basics.
Kind of get.
Bryce, kind of get?
I kind of get it.
Kind of get?
What's there to get about it?
Is there more to the story?
I feel like we all know the basics.
I'll let you take it.
Yeah.
Shannon?
Oh, I'll say I know.
Okay, great. So we'll start with the kind of gets. So Corey, we'll start with you, come around to Shannon, and then finish on Rachel.
John Lorena Bobbitt, he was maybe having an affair or something, and she cut his penis off and threw it out a window. Isn't that basically the gist of it?
The penis cutting is correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the rest of it's not?
No.
I said
it's not incorrect entirely, but yeah. Bryce?
Corey nailed what I know of the situation.
Nailed it.
Nice. Josh?
Yeah. I can add to that only in saying that for some reason John Bobbitt did a couple porno movies after the whole thing happened.
Long saga.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Shannon?
I was going to add the porno thing. I think, so to bring it down from porno, I think he beat her.
Yeah.
And she was right. her defense was that she was scared of him. And it was actually one of the televised court TV frenzies of the late 90s, along with the Menendez brothers and OJ. And so everybody got to watch the entire Bobbitt trial.
That's right. Rachel, can you add?
I'm going to bring it back home, guys. All right. So, yes, they were married. He was a military man. They lived in Texas. This is in the early 90s. I want to say around 93, because I remember reading this entire story in a Vogue magazine at my ridiculous Jersey hairdresser's when I was in my upper grade school years. So they were married. He was horrifically abusive to her, including, according to her, sexual assault and rape, as well as physical and verbal abuse. And having had enough, she cut off his penis and, in a panic, drove away and flung it out of a car window as she was driving. It landed in a field and was found by a black man and a black comic, whom I cannot remember, made a very funny joke about, of course, that would be a black man's lot to find some white dude's penis in a fucking field. So
a needle in a haystack.
And yes, he did. He had if not his penis, a penis reattached to his body. And
I think it was that one.
I think so.
It was the one in the field.
And then went on to star in what I can only imagine is very disappointing pornography films.
Yeah, because he's like,
yeah.
I mean,
well,
he
had trouble getting it up. Yeah. Strangely.
Yeah. I do too when I watch him. Yeah.
That was great. Everybody made good additions, Rachel. That was great. This is also like a landmark legal case as far as proving that rape can happen within a marriage.
There we go.
Which up until 1993 was not yet a thing that this country was ready to embrace, that a husband could do something bad to his wife that was punishable by law. God. Pretty fucked up. Thanks, America.
Yeah.
Great job, everybody. That was fun. You guys remember the 90s? This is actually one of the first, this is one of the first prominent court cases that I remember from my youth. Josh, you're going to have a point. That puts you at 3. John, you passed. Shannon, you're going to get half a point. That gives you 1 point. Woo-hoo. Rachel's going to get a point.
Fuck yeah.
So she's at 5 points.
God damn.
Really just...
cleaning up the board with everybody.
Bryce, you had your thing added. Corey grabbed it from you.
Yeah, I offered nothing.
Corey, you're going to get half out the point. And let's see. I guess, Rachel, it's you again. So 1 through 3. Pick again.
Oh, 2.
2?
Yeah.
Okay, this
one's...
Wait,
no!
2-8.
No, you want to...
1.
1. Yeah. All right, that's fine. Rachel, do you know? Do you kind of get... Or do you only have a vague idea about Archie versus Predator?
I feel like I can piece it together, so I'm gonna say I the second one. I knew pretty well.
You kinda get it?
Yeah, I kinda get it.
Okay. Okay. Corey?
I've never heard those words put together in my life.
Alright, great. Now you could probably get half a point if you know about either of the two components.
That's
enough
what I'm banking
to
on.
Build a case. As long as you're not making things up outright, it's...
Okay,
yeah.
Then I kind of get it.
Kind of sure. Get it. All right.
Vague idea.
Vague idea for Bryce. Josh?
I kind of get it. Maybe a little more than kind of, but I'm not confident to go all the way. So,
okay.
Yeah.
John?
I steer clear of comics, like the work of the devil.
Well, you just said comics, which is a vague idea. All right.
Sorry.
Jeez, John. All right. Shannon?
I'll go vague idea.
Vague idea? All right. So, Shannon, we'll start with you because you have the vaguest of the ideas. And we'll hop around until we get back to Rachel because Rachel thinks she kind of knows.
Ouch.
As John mentioned, it's a comic book.
Uh-huh.
I think it's from like 2012, something like that, where Archie Andrews of Riverdale fame is I think he's paired up with Predator. I actually, believe it or not, used to own this comic, but I don't remember it very well at all. But it came from a time period when Archie Comics was pairing up with a lot of other guest stars, and I do have the Archie and Kiss comic book, which is awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have Archie and Punisher.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, that makes more sense, though. Punisher.
Yeah, right. They're in the same universe, I guess.
The made-up one? Yes.
Well, and then they're both comic characters.
They're both comic characters.
And they're both from Marvel. So, because Marvel puts out Archie Comics.
Mm. Bryce, you had a vague idea?
I did. And go. Shannon said it all very well.
All right. So, Josh, you kind of get it.
She has more than a vague idea.
This is how Shannon plays the game. She always says she has a vague idea, and she's like, oh, I know, I can speak 20 minutes very intelligently about this topic.
Yeah. So I can't add much to it. I mean, what's the plot? Predator goes to Riverdale, meets up with Archie, something else happens. That's about it.
Okay, Corey?
Yeah, I should have said vague idea instead of kind of get. I couldn't give you any more than what she said.
All right. Rachel, you've got the high bid now.
I have absolutely nothing else to add, except I would venture to guess that Predator was actually Veronica.
Well, so it's a 2015 crossover. It's very recent.
That is
between
recent.
Dark Horse Comics and Archie Comics.
Oh, so I was wrong.
And the Predator from The Predator shows up in Riverdale and kills everybody but Betty and Veronica.
Oh,
and,
so my theory has legs.
What did Veronica do to say? Yeah, no, but it's like a pretty cool story. Trophy hunting alien arrives on Earth and begins stalking high school students. There was a lot of controversy when they were making it because the writer of the Predator part is actually like a Dark Horse writer. And they were having to work with, under the constraints of the Archie Comics group, which is like, hey, this, you know, it's really cutesy, and like, at worst, it's like, oh, we're getting a little punch fight. But heads explode in this comic book, and all sorts of stuff. It's pretty great.
I'll say the later period Archie stuff is actually really good.
Yeah, the 1994 was Archie Meets the Punisher,
which had a team up
of the characters. Archie Meets Kiss in 2012.
There's like a zombie invasion from a couple years ago. I mean, there's all kinds of, like, and it gets really bloody and violent and
weird.
Oh,
I have the zombie
Afterlife with Archie. It's fantastic. It's really, really good.
There was also Archie Meets Glee in 2013. So,
no, there wasn't. It's erased.
Archie is Marvel. It's Predator who's Dark Horse.
I think, well, Predator's Dark Horse, and I think Archie's just Archie. Like, it's just Archie Comics. Mm. Maybe Marvel owns them, though.
I feel like Marvel owns it, but I could be wrong.
This feels like a fever dream of a special podcast the two of you have about You're just sitting here observing.
Yeah, you said you knew the most about it.
I lied, obviously.
The important thing is everybody gets a point.
Oh!
No.
Huh.
Yep, that's how it works. That's how a big idea works sometimes.
It's John a big grading system, too.
You try to not play, John, but you're getting a point anyway.
This is how Nate wins friends and influences people. He just starts awarding points, even if he didn't participate. He's like, well, I just like the
The point awarding gets really weird when the mic turns off.
You get a point. You get a point.
I mean, but backstage, I'm a horrible person.
You get a point.
Shannon, you added the most. So you have two choices, one or two.
Let's go with number two.
Number two. Okay, this is a recent news item. Shannon, do you know, you kind of get, or do you only have a vague idea, about China's artificial sun?
Oh, pass.
S-U-N.
Pass.
Pass. Okay. Rachel, China's artificial sun.
I gotta say, my head is swimming, and it is glorious, but I have no idea what that is.
Okay. Corey?
Pass.
Bryce. Oh, jeez. Okay. Bryce is passing. Josh?
About the glorious sun of the People's Republic? No, I don't know shit about that.
Wait, can I change it to, I might have the bottomist idea.
A vague idea?
Yeah.
You can have a vague idea.
Right,
John?
I have a vague idea.
I'll have a vague idea. I'll take a stab.
John, start us out. What do you know about China's artificial sun?
I would imagine it's their attempts at fusion reactor.
That's right.
For power supply, for energy.
That is correct.
Yeah. He said nonchalantly.
I mean, that's all.
At the risk of losing half a point.
I think I wrote a book on it.
I would venture to guess that it's the name do. Basically, I just had this whole like big Montgomery Burns blocking out the sun scheme in my head, but it's like the opposite of that, where they're like, sorry, we spent decades polluting our entire urban area, and you can't see for all the pollution and smog, so here's a fake sun. Basically, just order sun lamps from Amazon for everyone.
I really like your Black Mirror answer. It's not going to get you a point, but it's
Will
great.
Will it lose me any points?
No, you're not going to lose
me. Perfect. That's
fine. You prompted it with, I really don't know what I'm talking about. And that's fair. Yeah, and plus you made a Simpsons drop, which I think we've had one in every single episode so far. And I'm happy about that.
That's a plus
because
point.
When you said blocking out the sun, I wanted to say, I've had about enough of these damn rickets, which is... You know, and then a bow-legged Homer walks out because everybody's become bow-legged in the 3 weeks that the sun has been blocked. It's hilarious.
Of course.
Yeah, so China has a huge sort of... what do you call this thing?
Just read it off of your screen.
He's playing
so
Candy Crush.
They have an artificial... Yeah, I'm totally checked out. They have an artificial sun that it can reach 100 million degrees Celsius in a sustained environment. They are trying to complete actual fusion by 2020.
This seems really
so
safe.
2 years.
Like, really safe, and it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
Halfway across the world, they feel perfectly safe.
Yep.
Yes.
They're going to blow a hole in that side of the planet, but that's okay.
They kind of had those same worries when they built, like, all those reactors, right?
Where
they, Like, the colliders.
Yeah.
They built CERN, it was kind of the same scare. Right?
In Springfield?
Right.
Superconducting super collider in Springfield.
So it's called Experimental Advanced Superconducting Tokamak, or EAST. It's a magnetic fusion chamber that can produce unlimited energy, allegedly. They haven't yet produced any energy. Part of the problem is that being able to sustain the temperature is great. Being able to sustain the temperature while also getting more energy out than you put in to do so is the trick about how fusion works. So we'll see.
I can also only assume that it'll give you lead poisoning, given China's very fast and loose standards of
production. I mean, no matter what, if they figure this out, we're all probably extraordinarily fucked, because they will either have a boundless amount of energy and will therefore be able to... I mean, we will no longer... I mean, not that I care if America's a superpower or not, but we will not be. They'll be like, yeah, no, we can power everything. So...
We run things now.
Yeah, exactly. Great.
I mean, it's better than what we got.
And there's Josh welcoming
or
our
answer. Or at least it's
forward.
Not any worse.
That's such a like Clinton Dole 94 kind of argument.
Listen,
that's better than what we got.
Compared to what's going on right now, I'll take China.
Thanks, Camp Brockman.
Yep.
John, you get a point.
I, for one, welcome our insect overlords. Yeah.
So there's only one option left in John because you contributed the most. You get to start.
I get to choose the first one.
Yeah, you get to choose the first one. You love number one. Number one of one. John, do you know about, do you kind of get, or do you only have a vague idea when it comes to James Cole's cannibalism beef chart?
What?
This was a deep cut
one.
On me. Yeah. Deep cut, sorry.
This is like when radio DJs, they have like their like special
There's
deep sides hour
at
2 p.m.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know, I think.
Okay. Shannon?
Pass.
Anything? Okay.
Yeah,
Rachel?
No, duh, obviously.
No? All right, Corey?
Yeah, once again, I've never heard those words put together.
Brian?
James Cole's cannibalism beef chart?
Correct.
Oh, James Cole's cannibalism
beef chart? No, I only know about Greg's cannibalism beef chart.
It's Greg Smith's cannibalism
Greg Smith's
beef chart. That's
much better beef chart.
That's the one everyone knows.
Nothing.
Josh?
No, I mean, I know about like Alfred Packer and the Donner Party. You want to talk cannibals, but James Cole, I don't know anything about him.
Well, yeah, let's...
Let's talk cannibals
for a second.
Are we just
I'll just let everybody know. You're all going to get a point for that because that was too hard, but it was very interesting I read about. So he is a scientist named James Cole, a lecturer on human origins at the University of Brighton in England. He designed a nutritional template for human cannibals. And basically determine, like, how many calories an arm and a leg and a torso and all these things are, like a beef chart, and then came to the very clear conclusion that, look, human bodies are so not nutritious, and so loaded with fat that you would only ever actually eat somebody because you had to, not because you were seeking any sort of nutritional content of any kind.
Well, I'm glad we worked that out.
Soylent Green is people.
It resolves the Soylent Green problem, like, and I'm sure the entire Silicon Valley group is like, how do we make people eat?
His mistake is saying that humans aren't nutritious instead of saying humans are delicious and here are amazing multivitamins that takes a supplement which only improves their flavor and texture.
Vegetable pairings and
wine pairings.
It's all about spices.
This is his mistake.
Well, that chart will come in handy after China blows up half the world and we're in a Dark Ages apocalypse.
Right. Yeah. And then we'll be like, you know, I think that's a good cut.
Yeah, pick up a copy of that chart. Let's see what's going on.
It costs an arm and a leg.
Whoa!
One point for Nate.
That was good. 1 point for Nate.
I think that's totally what anybody
totally
has given
thought
me
of that
point.
Joke as soon as he came up with this topic. He was just waiting for a moment to
sneak it in.
It has been a sweaty and anticipatory couple of weeks. I've just been like, oh, when am I going to get to say it?
arm and a leg, don't forget it. Arm and a leg. Here it comes.
All the world's assholes and eat them, and that's jerky. Right? Like every jerk in the world.
Are you talking about actual anuses or are you talking about...
Is that hot dogs?
No,
or
every
hot dogs.
Jerk.
Yeah, yeah.
Every jerk.
Like
yeah.
Hot dogs.
Every human jerk. Otherwise, you know, aka every guy I've ever dated. We just round them up and just dry them out and eat them. And that's jerky.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm not totally against that.
I'm into it.
Like, it's kind of a purge situation that we're proposing. But it's a little more... Yeah. Like that... Do you guys remember that movie that... I think it came out in like maybe 2000, but it was like... Post Civil War, and two guys are in the mountains.
Ravenous with Guy Pearce.
Great, yeah. Thank you.
Oh, I love
I've been in my brain for weeks. Yeah. Movie about hardying.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
And that was like right when everybody thought, like, oh, Guy Pearce is going to be super, like, he's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
Because he's the
guy. And then he just didn't. He just didn't live up to his name.
Weird shit now, which I like.
Yeah. Well, guys, that's all the topics.
Well, who won?
Well,
you, obviously.
I just want to hear you say it.
Here's our final score. All right. We have Josh with 4 points.
Woo!
John with 2.5 points.
Woo!
Shannon with 2 points.
Uh-huh.
We have Bryce with 4 points.
Yep.
Corey with 1.5 points, which is a powerful showing for showing up halfway through.
And because I didn't know anything.
This is the perfect metaphor for life.
And I still wound up with 1.5.
And the winner of the floppy disk from 1995's The Net, starring Sandra Bullock, Technological Foresight Award, goes to Rachel Trignano with 6 points.
All right.
Congratulations, Rachel. Do you have anything to say? Gracious, ungracious, plugs, I don't know, hexes, whatever.
I owe everything to Sandra Bullock. I don't know what else to say.
I mean, we all do.
Sandy's had a tough life, you know. Sandy. Everybody keeps shitting on her. You know, we round up all of her exes,
bless
too.
Bless her and her adopted children. Yeah, let's jerky up that Jesse James. Was hepatitis. I can only assume.
You know, has she been in a good movie?
What?
Like a genuinely
Speed,
good
come
movie.
Come on. Yeah, Speed was
no, I mean like an actual good movie.
Speed. I don't understand
Practical
the conversation
Magic?
We're having.
Was that a good movie?
She was in Gravity, which a lot of people liked.
Gravity. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
She was in The Blind Side also.
What about Steve?
Oh, yeah, what about Steve? A comedy classic. Makes a lot of sense.
Just any movie loved by white people, she's been in, basically.
Sandra Bullock was like my dial-up era internet crush. Mm. Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
It just means that like I used a printer to print a couple of pictures of Sandra Bullock when I was like 14 years old.
Oh, it's so cute.
While you're sleeping.
I didn't do anything.
Well, that's a
fun one.
She's coming out in Bird Box.
Bird Box? Is that like a new mail order service?
No, it's
Bird Box right to your door.
Maybe they just deliver.
This week a parakeet. It's dead.
A monthly bird subscription.
We didn't think this out at all. Shipping birds was a bad idea.
This is sponsored by Monty Python.
No, it's not. It's just sleeping.
And that's the part in Dumb and Dumber.
She had no part in Dumb and Dumber.
My parakeet. The parakeet was singing Dumb and Dumber. The blind kid's parakeet won't sing. And
yeah,
because like,
his head was taped on. Yeah.
Rachel was ready to fight you. I have a suggestion that Sandra Bullock got a part.
She would never go near that.
Samsonite. Well,
she was in Ocean's 8, right? All right.
Yeah.
That just came out?
Yeah.
I will not watch anything created after like 2010. So
none at all?
I mean, probably not.
Have you seen 2010 with Roy Scheider?
Oh, certainly not.
The sequel to 2001. I've also not seen
most movies made before 2010. I just mainly watch Golden Girls.
Let's make a short list of movies you've seen.
Golden Girls.
Short list.
That's not a movie, but you get a point.
This is how I play the game.
Five McClanahans to Rachel. And great. Does anybody else have anything they want to plug? Like anything that's going on that you want to alert people to? You're all very active in the Denver community with writing and creation and things, and I want to get all your websites out there. Go, Rachel, go.
I will start us off with plugging Write Club Denver, first Thursdays at Syntax Physic Opera every month, co-produced with Corey Byram, right to my left over here, Joy Carletti and Colony Ugo McCarthy. It is a literary thunderdome like no other. First Thursday every month, Syntax, writeclubdenver.com. I just want to keep saying single words and phrases until you interrupt me.
Yeah, there's something about the podcast medium that really welcomes that, the very measured speaking of URLs and or things you're doing.
Better ingredients, better pizza, writeclubdenver.com.
Papa John's is horrible. I won't cut that out, but I'm going to say Papa John's is horrible. Corey.
Rachel stole mine. Write Club is the only thing that I have to plug.
All right. Bryce?
South Broadway Ghost Society, an arts journal open to submissions of writing and photography. And how am I supposed to say this? SoboGoso.org.
Nice.
Or just Google search or Facebook South Broadway Ghost Society.
And you have your inaugural event tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Which no one will be able to hear because that will be in the past by the time I post this. But you'll be able to go to Mutiny and attend an event where you can listen to poetry, comedy, etc.
Just go to Mutiny. That's my advice.
That's good advice for all. Josh?
Listen to Denver Orbit. It's an audio magazine featuring voices, stories, and music from Colorado's creative community.
It's almost like you've practiced
that. No, it's almost like I've said that 1,000 times.
That's why every time I say, hello and welcome to A Vague Idea, there's a cadence.
There's a cadence.
You just build it in. It's great.
I love it.
This inside baseball stuff is why everybody tunes in anyway. John, things to plug.
Yeah, I would say this December 1st is what we call Bike Shop Day, and it's a good chance to get out to your local bike shop and support them. There's a lot of good things happening in local bike shops around you. You could come into my bike shop at Bike Shop Girl, kind of by the Stanley Marketplace in Stapleton neighborhood in Aurora, Colorado.
Mm-hmm. All right. Shannon?
Colorado Gifts Day, December 10th.
Yeah. We can't emphasize enough in a time when the capitalists are hoarding more capital than ever. Give to the things that matter when you can, if you can. We can only all do a little bit, but it adds up to a lot. Thank you guys all for being on the show. This was a lot of fun. Rachel, congratulations.
I deserved it. Thank you.
I hope that...
You earned this.
I hope that all of you will come back and that we can do this again at some point. And Rachel, I mean, I wish you all the best, but I hope that you never leave.
Am I dying? JK, I'm moving.
Yeah. You're moving to...
I'm dead to you.
You're going to go live in the Space Needle with Jeff Bezos.
That sounds great. Oh, and Frasier.
And Frasier. Oh, man. All those tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
Mm.
Well, thanks, everybody. This was a lot of fun. This is A Vague Idea. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
I won.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and John Perros. If you like this podcast and you like anime, you should check out my podcast with Sean Grolkowski called You Better Beweeb This. That's found at moleholeradio.com. If you like science fiction books, you should check out the press that Sean and I started. It's called Spaceboy Books, and you can find us at readspaceboy.com.